Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
It's time to take another look at football's ancient history, as in this podcast, we take a look at the ancient historic connection of the game of football, and we'll stop by the British Isles for some more tweaks and additions that help shape the gridiron game. This story and more in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Football friends, this is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to our look at ancient history and how it affected the game of football, how it made the game of football, actually. And today we're going to look at the British influence on the ancient games, the English kicks, and some ideas for football. Whatever the inspiration of the original game, the most modern versions of soccer are believed to have originated from England in the 12th century. It became so popular in England that the kings of that time, Henry II and Henry IV, actually banned their game of football from being played. The royals believed that this football was taking away interest in the traditional sports of England, such as fencing, archery, and jousting. The game didn't really begin to take on any consistency of rules and boundaries until it was picked up as a sport by the seven major public schools of England in the early 1800s. Six of the seven schools were largely playing the same game, while the seventh, well, they played a little bit different game, and they were the rugby school, which was founded in 1567. They was playing a very different version of what was then called football. The other schools moved ahead, refining their rules, and eventually their game became known as association football, or soccer, which was played back then much as it is today. So that's where the word soccer comes from, is from the word association football, and that's where soccer came from, which we call it here in the U.S. Now the rugby school, they went in that different direction. And at rugby school, their version differed with the rules that the players could hold and carry the ball in their arms. Legend has it that one player in 1823 disregarded the established rules, tucked the ball under his arm, and dashed across the goal of his opponents. By the 1830s, running with the ball at the rugby school was in common use, and 18-foot goalposts had been added with a crossbar at 10 feet above the ground. Sound familiar? The innovation of the crossbar was accompanied by a rule that the goal could only be scored by the ball passing over the bar from a place kick or drop kick. Apparently, this was done to make scoring easier from further out, and also to avoid the horde of defenders standing in front of them blocking the goal. Modern day terms of American football had the origins from this version of rugby football. The players who were able to touch down the ball behind the opponent's goal line were awarded at a try at goal. The player would mark on the goal line and then walk back onto the field of play to a point where the place kick at the goal was possible, or it was called a conversion. There was also your offside rule used to keep the teams apart. Passing the ball forward was not allowed. The mid-1860s, British schools and universities had taken up rugby's game and honored the school by giving the new football the name of rugby, the name of that school, in honor of its founding school. This form of football was imported into the New World by the 17th and 18th century colonists. In 1840, a reporter wrote of a Yale University game, "If the truth were told, the game would make the same impression on the public mind as a bullfight. Boys and young men knocked each other down and tore off each other's clothing. Eyes were bunged, faces were blackened, much blood was spilt, and the shirts and coats were torn to rags. American ingenuity would soon evolve this European game further from its ancient roots. Check back soon for our next excerpt on a game's evolution called History of the Football Timeline Continues in a New World. And it's coming up in just a few days on PigskinDispatch.com. I certainly hope that you enjoyed this little look at history, the ancient history of the roots of football. And we will keep continuing to bring this. A lot of this comes from Park H. Davis's book, Football 1911, The Intercollegiate Game. It was wrote in 1911. It's just called Football, the Intercollegiate Game. And Park H. Davis was a very interesting historian that lived, you know, right around the turn of the century. He played the game. He coached it. Had a few coaching bouts that are very famous. Look for your football history headlines for some of those. And he was a great historian and wrote things down and tried to put an accurate description of what was going on in the game of football before 1911 and at that current time. So we hope you'll look back and take another angle at football from its beginnings till now. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings you sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of you unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.